coming up on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. The Cougars go to 4-0 with a resounding home win over K-State in BYU's Big 12 opener. Now the Cougs go to Waco, looking for their first ever Big 12 away win. And we're looking back and ahead with Kalani and special guest Darius Lassiter. Next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Hello, good evening once again. Good to have you all here. Hello, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the beautiful Brigham Young University campus here in Provo, Utah. It's our week 5 edition already of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Great to have you with us, either live or on demand via the BYU TV and the BYU radio apps, along with ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's show, we will recap a wild Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium and a win that put BYU in the top 25. We'll look ahead to BYU's Big 12 road opener at Baylor. Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week, Parker Kingston, joins us inside the film room. Deep Blue will profile BYU's McKenzie brothers, Dom and Marcus. Wide receiver Darius Lassiter is our in-studio guest. We'll have fun and games with Darius and a more even special guest coming up. And along with Kalani and Darius, Q&A on the program as well. Well, to get tonight's show underway, let's welcome in the man who picked up his 65th win as BYU head coach the other evening versus Kansas State. He's the former fullback who puts the fun in fundamentals. He's the head coach of your BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. Good to see you once again.
A lot of people here.
Yes, full house. Like it was Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Fun. Yeah, that was a fun night. Man, I everybody keeps talking about it. I'm trying to move on.
I know.
I'm trying to get to the next one, but really proud of the team, proud of the fans. And it's a good time to be a BYU football fan right now, and we got a momentum going, and we got to keep it rolling. So there's a lot of things. I mean, believe it or not, it wasn't perfect though, guys. There's a lot of things that we need to correct and things that we could play better. And so, but I do like the fact that it just seemed like the middle eight we owned it.
Middle eight minutes. Yeah. Surrounding halftime. Yeah.
Yeah, the 4 minutes at the end of the first half, 4 minutes beginning of the second half. That was good to have, and especially since we didn't win the coin toss, so they elected to defer. But we still were able to make it ours, and so that was really cool. I mentioned that Kedi Papinga, he gave a presentation on the middle eight, winning the middle eight, and we won it. So yesterday, I asked him to give a presentation on the middle 60,
just win the whole game.
60 minutes, yeah. Let's do that, There are a lot of things that we can do better, and I'm looking forward to getting that done. And it was definitely our best game of the year, but we didn't come all this way just for one game.
Well, we know you are moving on. We'll call this one final chance to look back at Saturday night. You've had a lot of special days and nights in that stadium as a player and a coach, but that has to rank way up there.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being at the Miami game when I was a kid, and that was a wonderful memory. And you know, this game was one. It's up there. It's definitely one of my top three. And so I just happened to be the head coach on this one. But it was a lot of fun, and I just think that it's just something when you have. I mean, I like the addition of the new lights. Just everyone that put it together. We talked on the post game that a lot of work goes into the entire day, and so many people that do it that don't get a lot of credit. And so hopefully they know that we appreciate them. The fans know that the fans appreciate them too. So, but it was a lot of fun, man. It was a spectacle. So I'm looking forward to the next one, and that should be our deal. That should be our home game should be. As a former player before I was a player and before I was a head coach, I was always a fan. That's the fan is always there. It's never been changed. It's always been the fan in me. So, I just kind of wanted to like. The only thing, we didn't storm the field, which I know that they fine us for storming the field now. But
plus, we need to take it easy on the new grass, too, you know?
Yeah. So it's okay. I don't mind these type of wins either. So like, I can get used to this stuff. And it's easier on a lot of people's hearts, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, teams come in here trying to beat you, and their fan bases come in hoping to cheer their team to victory. And even when they don't leave happy, they leave with a positive impression, it seems, around the Big 12. The teams that have come in, the coaches, the staffs, the fans, they go to social media and they talk about what it was like to be at a BYU football game. Some have won and some have lost the game.
Yeah.
And they pretty much all have to say the same thing.
Yeah, and the reputation that the fans have. So game day, if you're an opponent, win or lose, treat it with respect. And so I'm really proud of our fans. But I already knew that about them, you know. So I brag about our fans all the time wherever we go, and whether we're on the road or at home. But it's nice that visiting teams can come here and not be dealt with in a hostile. It doesn't have to be a hostile environment, but it could be a super friendly one, which is for a lot of players, they think it's weird. I mean, Keaton Slovis talked about it's a little different and weird, but it's okay to be different and weird. I mean, President Kimball talked about that BYU will be different and unique, and it's okay to be unique and different and to be positive. But we're all disciples of Christ. I think when we do things like that, it uplifts everybody, and it's us at our best.
K-State's quarterback, Avery Johnson, said it was kind of a weird environment for him, he said, because the fans were almost encouraging. It was a different vibe for him. And a shout-out, too, to Cougar Nation, who took up a cause close to Avery's heart last week. He had, a coach close to him battling cancer. There was a funding mechanism set up, and a lot of BYU fans chipped in for that. And yeah. And so that was a really nice thing from Cougar Nation
as well.
Super
special, and yeah. I believe it's a principle. That they raise. I mean, he's in stage 4 cancer, and they're raising money for him, and we surpassed the goal, and it was built on him scoring touchdowns and raising money, and fortunately for us, he didn't score any, but also fortunately for us, we have fans that understand that there's more to this than just the game, and even if the result didn't go our way, I know our fans would have stepped up and helped out, and it's such a cool thing. So thank you everyone for doing that.
Nice to win a Big 12 opener too, right?
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, so it's going as planned. I know a lot of people didn't think that we would be here, but it's okay. We worked really hard for this, and the message to the team yesterday in the team meeting was that we just need to stay hungry, you know. And I think
hungry and humble, I think, is what you said.
Yeah, hungry and humble is what we need to work on. And you've seen a lot of teams that have won big games and then not performed their best in the following week, and so that can't be us.
Well, for a fourth time under Coach Sitake, BYU has opened 4-0. Win number 4 came at a sold-out Lavelle Edwards Stadium on Saturday night as K-State came calling for the first time in 47 years. BYU was about to have one of its most complete games through all 3 phases of the game. We're going to see some highlights right now. They won't be all sequential, but they're going to show some great defense and some great offense and some great special teams. And we'll kind of roll the clips and some of the plays were game changers defensively. We're going to see a scoop and score from Tommy. We're going to see Tyler Batty's INT. We're going to see Harrison Taggart's INT. But the defense in general has been so good through the first 4 games this year.
Yeah, and sometimes things take a little bit more time and a little more patience, and hard to do that in an impatient world. But when all 11 guys are clicking and doing their job, good things happen just like this. We could take advantage of opportunities, and so, they could have been 4 guys that could have got the touchdown there, but you see how excited Maury is that Tommy got it. It doesn't really matter who scores. Is that when all 11 guys are doing their job and we're in the spots, the right spots, good things happen.
By the way, great to see Maury on the field in his first game action this year, too.
Yeah, that was awesome, and great sack by Jack here, and bringing Trey off the edge, a true freshman corner. I mean, this is... we're deep in a lot of different places, and these guys can play, man. I'm looking forward to more big plays that they can make.
It is a hard-hitting group, and it's one of only very few teams. There are, I think, 9 FBS teams that have played 4 games that have allowed 4 or fewer touchdowns. You've only allowed 4 touchdowns in 4 games.
Yeah, I mean Batty, who never caught a ball, I guess, is in high school. I mean, this is pretty good to get this ball and have his hands underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His first interception. He said, absolutely, it was his first. You could tell the celebration was. And what a great play by Glasker there, too.
He's so long, 6'5", 230 pounds, and, you know, he's an all-state receiver. And then Harry, it's good that you called him Dirty Harry. There's a, you know, he dropped a couple. He could have had some a couple earlier in the year, but stuck with it. He's in the right spot, and man, I think if he didn't get that, Crew would have been in the way there, too. And I like the ball security at the end, so that no one can poke the ball out. I mean, I think I would like two hands in traffic, but he wasn't really in traffic yet.
Yeah. It was big defensive plays all around. The defensive point totals allowed, it's all about points, right? You talk about all the different stats in the world, but it's points and wins. And you've allowed 13, 15, 14, and 9 points right now through 4 games.
Yeah, good stuff. And when I say that, there's still Coach Hill and the defensive staff are still trying to make it so it can be better. I mean, that's... We know that we can count on defense to do it right, but it's going to be hard, you know, to be consistent. But I don't know what else to expect other than that was one of the best offenses that we're going to be facing all year. So I don't think it's that hard to be consistent from what the way Coach Hill demands it and the way that those coaches work with their group. And we're a deep group. I mean, defensively, I think in a lot of different positions we're deep, and you're seeing it from the running back position too. So you just don't know a lot of the names, and we don't want a bunch of guys to get hurt, but we feel really good about the development of our players, too.
You played an SMU team, held them to 15 points, kept them out of the end zone. They turned around and scored 66 on the weekend. That's the kind of team you're dealing with, so these numbers, I think, really do hold up. It was complimentary football, right, because the defense was making plays. Special teams, we'll see a big one coming up here in a bit, but then the offense, when it got the chance, would get a short field and score almost immediately. We'll see some offensive highlights now, and it really was the offense doing its part. It's one thing when the defense gets momentum, the offense maintained it for you.
Yeah, and I think at the beginning, it started a little rough in the beginning. We had his punt early, I think the average starting position for us was close to midfield. So
it was the 44-yard line.
Yeah, so it's not, the stats aren't going to look great when yards to gain when you're starting midfield. I'm okay with that. Like if we can get the defense to get short fields for our offense and we get less yards, that'll be fine by me, and we can put points on the board. But offense took advantage. If you look at yards per play and the way that they ran the ball, we averaged over 5 yards to carry. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen to this defense. And they're really efficient. And it just, good things started to happen once you got the momentum flowing.
Jake Retzlaff had a pass efficiency rating of 162.5, which is excellent. And it's as high against any FBS opponent yet. He gets better, it seems, game to game.
Yeah, and I like that he took care of the football. And you know, he ran a couple times. And you could see that the ball security was something that he wants to improve on, and then he did it. I mean, this is...
And how good was Sione Moa on this night?
Yeah, I mean, we knew he could do this, and we have a group of running backs that can play. And he's one of them. You know, unfortunately, Folau and LJ weren't ready to go, and they got hurt in the SMU game, but we can count on these guys to get it done.
Can you update us on Folau, Hinkley Ropati, and LJ Martin?
Yeah, LJ, we don't think LJ's going to be... We took him off because we're going to just heal him up, and we'll get him back for the Arizona game. And then Hinkley's back for this week. So he practiced today, looked good. Him and his wife had a new baby girl.
So, congrats.
That part, I mean, I hope he gets some sleep, you know, but we're really looking forward to him being back. It's good for him to be back with us in that full strength. So he'll be ready to go.
Okay, we've seen the defense. We've seen the offense. Special teams, we'll mention the fact that Will Farron was perfect. He was 1-for-1 on his field goal, 5-for-5 on his PATs, but somehow he wasn't the biggest special teams newsmaker on the night. This was Parker Kingston.
Oh, Parker. So, this is, I think everybody went through so many different emotions during this. I like your call on this play, Greg, because I think that's exactly how we were all feeling. I mean, it was like, I was so angry and so happy in a matter of just, you know, from in 10 seconds. But even at the end when they had to review it, you know, I'm like, Parker, seriously. But you watch, Raider DeMooney's on top of it. He gets the ball after he drops it. So, I mean, we want to give the ball to the ref. I don't care how tired you are. And then we probably don't want to hit him in the head and punch him in the stomach so he throws up.
You're right.
Yeah, so. I mean, you could see he was kind of like fending people off.
I did, but, yes. I need a little space right now.
That's what you get for making it a 90-yard return instead of a 70-yard return. That would have been just fine.
And SportsCenter tracked it down and actually called it 136 yards, I think, of yardage or something like that for all the running around he did. But that was phenomenal. A-Rod said on the coordinator's corner that it was track that got Parker on the football team. We saw his track speed down the sideline.
Yeah, and he hit really high miles per hour, right on the bend on the turn. And so, I mean, he's got a lot of speed, and I'm glad that we got to see it then. And we just like to see it catch the ball cleanly. But to his defense, this punter from Kansas State was very erratic with his punts, and I think they do that on purpose. And we knew that it was going to be a lot of different looks, but that was a hard one to track down. I just either let it go or catch it. I mean, it was just a catch it cleanly. You know what I mean? So we can improve on it, but.
But he got a blessed bounce, you know, up
yeah,
into his.
Just count your blessings, because I mean, you have to, you just can't count on them as much as you think it is. But yeah, let's not let that happen again. Let's just make it a clean punt return. You know what I mean? Like, let's just make it a good. There's nothing wrong with a traditional punt return that doesn't have to be on SportsCenter. It's okay.
Yeah. Let's note the fact that it had been 10 years since a kickoff return touchdown. You got that in Laramie. It had been 11 years since a punt return touchdown, and you got that on Saturday. So great special teams plays after some distance between them happening. All right, here are the final stats from the win over the K-State Wildcats. They're presented by Smarty. Here are some numbers of note. BYU, again, the total yards number, you don't really, because they didn't have a long ways to go. The available yards they had a really good percentage of them gained because they had short fields all night. So it's all about, when you go 3-0 in the turnover margin and you get 21 points off the three turnovers, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and a lot of times the yards don't show it. But if you look at the teams that had some blowout victories, even over the last weekend, is very similar type of stats, and that's okay.
You know, I was just thinking about it. We talked about this last week. We said the first game Lavelle coached as head coach at BYU was against K-State. Final score there was 32-9. This one was 38-9. Pretty similar numbers from game one to that one.
Yeah, I like that. Let's just keep getting the comparisons going. That'd be nice.
You saw it in the highlights a second ago, a play that was one of, the most exciting we've ever seen at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. A play that went from oh no, to heck yeah, in a hurry. It was, of course, the 90-yard punt return for a touchdown by Parker Kingston, who tonight breaks it down with our Jerem Jordan inside the film room.
That punt return was unbelievable, man. What was the reaction like? Like, how many texts did you have on your phone after that?
I had 100, 120 texts on my phone. And then every social media was blowing up. It was crazy.
What was your favorite reaction from someone or something?
I saw one that the guy was like, the punt return was so long it should count as this kid's mission trip.
I saw that one. That made me laugh.
Yeah.
That was good, dude. So Congratulations. Welcome back from your mission trip. Let's break it down, man. There's a million things about this play. It doesn't start off great, which kind of adds to the allure of the play.
Yeah. This isn't even like punt return or whatever. We just had safe on because it was fourth and short, stopping any fake. He kicked it. And it was kind of wobbly, so I ran up on it too far, and I saw it was carrying. I'm like, oh, boy, please just give me a hop or something, and it hopped right into my hands.
Perfect hop.
And I thought Raider was actually going to tackle me right here because I saw him. I'm like, oh, boy. But then those guys hit each other, and Zay just led the way.
Glasker is awesome on this.
Yeah. Yeah, he ran the return for me. J-Rob taking out a big guy right there. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a whole team.
Glasker actually beats you to the end zone.
Yeah, he ran the entire, like, I should have given him the ball.
At the very end, You just give him the ball.
Yeah, but
he makes one block, and then he basically just runs down.
Yeah, he sealed this guy off, and that's what sprung it.
At this point, you're at the 40 or 50. Yeah. Where are you thinking, oh, I could house this puck?
I think right here is where I was like, okay, I'm scoring. And then I got to about the 30, and I couldn't feel my legs anymore. I was so tired. And then this was the greatest. I mean, running right into the rock, the entire stadium's going nuts. It was one of the best. Like, I'm getting chills right now thinking about it. It was awesome.
So who are the other guys that you want to shout out on this?
I mean, the entire everybody. I mean, once they realized I got it, you could see them all start coming over and sealing guys off. And it was, Batty right there. High screen, J-Rob taking on the biggest guy. just putting his body on the line.
That lineman comes over and just cuts.
Yeah.
J-Rope.
Yeah.
He's not even going for you.
Yeah. Jack threw that guy 10 yards away. Yeah, it was. Mark hit him again, fell down. Yeah, it was a whole team effort.
What's up with special teams? The last 2 weeks, you end these streaks of 10-plus years of kickoff return for a touchdown with Keelan at Wyoming. You with this punt return against Kansas State. Things are going great in special teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's all praise to K-Pop. We pound special teams before anything else, and he harps on it. He makes sure we're going 100% all the time, not taking it for granted, and I think it's starting to pay off, and I think it's just going to get better from here on out.
Okay, big game with Baylor. You're a ranked team now, dog on the road. How you guys feeling about a big opportunity in a day game where there have been some struggles recently that you can kind of snap some of that if you get a big win?
Yeah, we feel good about it. It's just another game, putting this game past us and now looking to Baylor and seeing them as the same opponent, seeing them as same strength of a team that they are. They're good. It's Big 12. Everyone's good. So it'll be a fun test, but we'll come out with the win for sure.
Well, thanks for the time and good luck in Waco. Yeah,
thank you.
And congrats to Parker for being the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week. In addition to being a special team standout, he's part of a very good wide receiver room for you too.
Yeah, and great player, and we knew that he could be something special for us, and so he's just a dynamic type of player and great kid. I'm glad that he gave recognition to K-Pop because K-Pop's worked really hard for it. And if our guys just trust Coach Papinga, I mean, more and more of these plays will happen, and I'm looking forward to this next week. I think we can definitely have the third phase special teams that no one really talks about really be a strength for us.
Coach Kelly Papinga, special teams coordinator. Coming up next for the Cougs, a return to Waco as BYU opens its Big 12 road slate at the Baylor Bears. The all-time series is tied at 2 games apiece. Both teams are 2-0 in their home venues. BYU's, of course, 4-0 to open the year. Baylor is off to a 2-2 start. I thought they were going to come in 3-1, but Colorado with a Hail Mary to get to overtime and then force a fumble in overtime, and the Bears took a tough one on the weekend.
Yeah, it's hard because Baylor had the game under control, and it's one of those things that, I mean, I think Shadur and that offense is always dangerous, even in a Hail Mary type of play, and they were able to get the win against Baylor, who should have won that game.
11 a.m. in Waco, 10 a.m. here in the Mountain Time Zone, 12 o'clock Eastern for BYU and Baylor. Hear it on BYU Radio with Hans, Mitch, and me, and watch the broadcast on FS1. As we break, this is your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays, noon Eastern, 10 Mountain on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will profile BYU's McKenzie brothers, Marcus and Dom. And wide receiver Darius Lassiter will join us live in studio. And BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
Welcome back. It is BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Time now for our weekly BYU player profile. We call it Deep Blue. Twins Marcus and Dominique McKenzie, sons of BYU running back great Brian McKenzie, have a unique bond. A bond that is growing stronger every day. But bonds this strong are often the result of adversity and healing. This is Deep Blue featuring Marcus and Dominique McKenzie.
Marcus, he's a loving boy. Growing up, he was always like very aware of other people and how they felt.
He'll befriend a kid over there that doesn't have any friends.
But he doesn't say much. Dominique is the opposite. Dominique want to talk, he just, yep, here.
He's a natural leader. He wants perfection.
Not the center of attention, but he's just driven.
He's always trying to push those around him to be better.
Growing up, Marcus was usually over by himself or with like a small group. I was envious on how well he was able to make new friends and be friends with people he'd never met before. I think it was more on my part wishing I could be like him.
Dom always was hard on his brother. You know, it got to a point when in high school where, you know, Marcus was like, yeah, I just started ignoring Dom. Oh, whatever, Dom, you know, you always want to tell me what to do.
A lot of the time, I think maybe it would have started as something like, hey, you can do better. You can push a little bit more, like, speed up. You're good. To maybe more negative, like, come on, dude, we know better than that. I wanted him to do things like me. I wanted him to be popular or more liked. I had this vision that he needed to be something else. This was a process of just building on things and things. And sometimes it got really personal to where the little jabs were enough to just, you know, him to go be very defensive and just not talk to me.
And he's like, oh, I'm so glad I have like two moms, you know. That's what Marcus would say to Dom, because it was kind of like that dynamic of just like, okay, I already get it from mom, like being a motherly type of thing. And then now I'm getting it from you. And it's just like, you're supposed to be my brother, not my mom.
I think by doing that all the time, it's got to a point it just started to push him away. You know, I'm tired, you know, I'm tired of you always getting on me. I'm tired of you always telling me I'm not doing it right.
When Dom first left for his mission, he left early his senior year, I was actually a little happy. Because I was like, oh, I got my space. No one's really bothering me. The spotlight is kind of on me. You know, he's gone. I'm still playing sports. My time to shine. The weird thing is like, you don't know what you have until it's gone. What I realized was when I first started practicing for track, I didn't have anyone to push me.
It kind of sunk in. Like, it is different without my brother. You know, it's weird now. I'm walking in stores and stuff, and like looking back, my brother's not there.
You know, it's that last rep, you're tired, and you're like, oh, I'm already so far ahead. I'm sure if Dom was there, he would have pushed me further.
I was just so into myself and how I was doing or how my brother wanted to be like me that even on my mission, it almost seemed like I wasn't missing him. It takes a strong and terrible experience that Marcus has to go through for me to kind of wake up and be like, what's going on? Like, what did I do? Am I involved in this? And it turns out that I was.
The effect of Dom being gone made it so I actually didn't run that good at first. It was hard for me because, you know, he was out doing something good and I had chosen to stay home. I think that's when I started to spiral in my mental health a little bit. I was feeling really lonely. You know, I didn't have my partner. I just felt down. I it was hard to sleep. I just wasn't myself.
I felt terrible. I was supposed to be there for my brother in a crucial moment.
You really came to that point of, I really miss my brother, love my brother. And you see Marcus going through what he was doing, and everything's like, man, I wish I could have talked to my brother first. You know, why didn't he call me? Whatever, it's like, you know, why would he call you, you know? And then he's like, you know, I need to be there for my brother. I really need to be there for my brother.
The first thing I did to change was I prayed to God for forgiveness, that there would be a way to help my brother. And the sad part was, when we would start to talk, I would have no intention of getting on him. He still had this defense up. He didn't know what I was actually trying to get to, what I was trying to talk to him about. And so he would almost avoid the conversation because he feels like I'm gonna jab at him, I'm gonna say something wrong.
He hadn't built the trust. It just wasn't there for him to be able to, let's say, like, hey, man, I'm about to break, you know. I'm not making it out here. This is really bad.
It kind of was a shock to me because at the time, my mindset was like, he's not going to forgive. He won't change. Admission can't change him.
Little by little, Marcus opened more up to me. He realized, like, oh, like, he's not trying to do anything. That added to my guilt when I realized, like, wow, it's that bad.
Sometimes something needs to be removed for you to realize how much you need it, how much you love it, how much you want it, how much you appreciate it. You know, sometimes being separated from something is what we need to have that perspective of what's important to us.
So we reunite. I get to see my brother in person again. You know, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm tough, all this stuff, but I actually start, you know, tearing up a little bit because I didn't realize how much, you know, I'd miss my brother.
They had both recognize how much they needed each other and the hard things that they had both faced individually. And when you come together and you feel that healing, you just really can't explain it, you know?
you are your brother's keeper. You understand? You need each other. I said, you guys are more stronger together than you are apart.
Since the realization of the damage that I've done and this new time of healing that me and my brother are in, it feels good. It feels like this is the part of the prayer that's being answered when I ask God for, you know, forgiveness. That I have an opportunity to actually put my own effort on actions to fix my wrongdoings. And not so much that like, oh, everything will be well, I fixed everything, but for me and my brother to both realize, like, we need each other. We need to be there for each other.
Our journey of our relationship has taught me patience, understanding that you need to forgive daily, and you have to look on the inside, because if something is making you upset, it's because you're letting it make you upset.
I love my brother so much.
I do love my brother.
Probably not a good question to ask me how far am I willing to go, but I would do anything for him.
If he needs me to do anything, I'll do it. Of course, if it's anything bad, I'll talk him out of it, but I got him.
What can you say about those two?
Yeah, I'm just so proud of them. Just their willingness to share. I love the Deep Blue moments, because just our players are no different than the general public and the BYU fans. And so, I think them willing to share their story is really cool. They're both legacy kids, and it's a good lesson for all of us to learn that somebody may be needing help, and the Spirit tells you gives you an impression to talk to someone, to please do it, even if you live in the same household. So I'm honored to be their coach. I mean, I got the block for their dad, you know, and their mom is a big time track and field athlete here too. So they have all the speed, all the skill that you can do on the football field, but it's the other stuff that I love the most, and I can't wait to see them making plays for us even more.
They've already made plays and many more to come, and we now know a little bit more about what makes them who they are. Great. A player with strong family ties to the game of football at the highest level, Darius Lassiter, is back at BYU for one final go-round, something that wasn't necessarily a sure thing leading into the offseason, but everything worked out to get him on the field in 2024, and he's already made a big impact in the Cougs' 4-0 start to the season. Please welcome into Studio C, BYU wide receiver Darius Lassiter. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
How do you like being a BYU Cougar?
I love it. Just my past experience being at junior college and then Eastern Michigan, I just got a stronger love for football, and then just being closer with my teammates here. And that's what I didn't really have in my last school. So I'm just so super grateful for that.
I mentioned in the intro to you that this 2024 season wasn't 100% a given. Like, there was some work to do to make sure we'd get you back on the field this year. Tell us a bit about that story and what had to get done to get you playing in 2024.
Yeah, we found out when I got here that I had to do a waiver for another year to come back. And then we were waiting to get it done in February, and then it kind of was taking a long time to come back. So I was just going through workouts, not knowing if I was going to be able to come back and have the opportunity to be with the team. And then one day, Coach A-Rod texts me, and, like, he don't normally really text me like that unless we're going over game plan or something. And then he's like, congrats, I'm super happy for you and this team, and we get to get it rolling again. And then Fessy had called me, and then that's when I really knew that I had got it back. So it was a great moment. I called my mom. She was excited and everything.
How happy were you to know that you get one more year with Darius?
I was super happy. I mean, I our team, our culture, we needed Darius. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like it's an answer to our prayers in terms of he's a great leader, and I don't think a lot of people understand what he does for our program. He's one of the funniest guys you'll ever know, and he has amazing dance moves, which I'm always going to lean towards, but he is within reason, right? The dance move wasn't a problem. The problem was Jake sliding in, acting like he's a photographer. He shouldn't have done that. So, anyways, that's another story. But Darius's leadership is it's why they selected him as one of the captains. You know, he's a great young man that cares about people, and he has a unique. I mean, if you look at his charisma, he's got I think the kids call it Riz. He's got it all, you know. But he does have it, and he cares about his teammates. And so it was easy to welcome into our program, and the chance of having another year with him, man. That's we were trying everything we could. It did come with a hiccup though, because they said he had to sit out one game, mm-hmm. and it had to be the first game. And I'm like, oh my gosh, but. You know, we definitely love Darius and we're excited to have him on our team. He's got great skill as a receiver, but we got to find a way to get him the ball more, because he can do some really good things for us and on the field. But it's off the field. He's a dream. He's been what you want to coach as a head coach.
Darius, you got a great football family tree that started bearing fruit with your father, Kwame. Tell us about him and the brothers that you grew up with and all the football that's been played by you all.
Yeah, my dad out of high school, he went junior college, the same one that me and my brother Quinn went to, Butler Community College. After that, he was an All-American there, so he was able to pick up offers and then go to Kansas out of JUCO. And then after that, he went undrafted to the Cardinals, and he kind of just made his mark there, making a team. And then after that, he went to play on the Rams and the Chargers.
Had a nice long NFL career, and then the brothers all started playing football. And Kansas was a big part of your family football life, right?
Yeah, both my brothers went to go there to play ball, including my dad. So I kind of, it's something that you always wanted to do growing up, but it just wasn't in the cards for me. So I'm grateful for having the opportunity to come here and then be able to play them. And so it kind of, and this. Talk trash to them whenever we play.
You go to Lawrence last year. You score a touchdown. Your mom is in the stands. You've got a brother playing for KU. You're playing for BYU. Yeah, there was a lot going on that day.
Yeah. It was a special day for the whole family. I think my mom was feeling it the most. She got to get the most glory just with the split jersey that she had.
She did have the split jersey going on, yeah.
So everybody kept going up to her, giving her compliments on that. And I just think that she just loved just seeing us both on the field together and just having the opportunity to play with each other one more time.
Now she gets to come to BYU, just a BYU jersey on.
Yeah.
Just one jersey this year.
Just one jersey this time.
We're visiting with Darius Lassiter. Coming up, we'll play a little game we're calling Headshots with Darius and a special guest when BYU Football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us. Mini game show segment of the show. Tonight, we are playing a first-timer on the program. We're playing Headshots. Production value. All right, Darius, you're playing tonight the game Headshots against a special guest. Let's bring him on out. He's your former teammate, Malik Moore. Malik, come on out.
What I did.
The holiday bowl jersey, is that what that is?
All right, Malik, thanks for being here in the throwback. By the way, Malik, five career interceptions, 2018 through 2023. Here is the deal. Well, first of all, question. You can stand, Darius, opposite Malik. How well do you think you know each other?
We spend every day with each other, so you know.
Okay. Were you guys ever roommates?
No.
Okay.
We only got sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We was at war, actually, with his house.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's another show.
Yeah.
It's a whole other show.
I'm going to dump y'all real quick.
All right. Tonight, we're going to find out how well you do know each other. Here's the deal. You're going to answer questions about each other. And by the way, I think it'd be good if you guys both put the baskets on your heads at any time here. There we go. Right. Yeah. This is an integral part of the game.
I don't know if my hair would be integral. Sad.
You might want to bring it out a little more. It's a tough angle if you don't bring it down. There you go.
I got the NBA room.
Yeah.
snap.
Here's how you're going to get points in this game. One way to get points is answer correctly a question about each other. And the other way is to make a basket on each other's face. Okay? That's basically what you get. So you have a chance to get, I think, up to 10 points total. Most points at the end wins. You ready to roll?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. This question is for Malik about Darius.
Bet.
What is Darius's favorite food?
Like a genre or like something specific?
I think it's specific. Now, we've already gotten the answers from both of you to all the questions, so we know what they said the answer is going to be, but you don't know the answer. What is Darius's favorite food? What did he say?
Barbecue ribs? My fault. No, I was just playing. Was it not meat?
That is a mad mug.
No.
What did you say?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti is his favorite food.
I was going to say Italian.
Well, you would have helped. All right. You don't get a point there, but you might make a point by getting a basket.
Okay.
Don't hit me, bro.
Kobe.
Oh, just off the rim. Okay, so it's an offer there for Malik. Darius, what is Malik's favorite movie?
Action.
You said?
Like
no
action.
No, yeah, action. No, you were going for genre, not an action movie.
Not
okay,
action.
Okay.
It's a comedy.
Comedy. He's giving him a hint.
He's not gonna get it.
Friday?
Nah. That was one of them, no.
What did you say?
Daddy Daycare.
Daddy Daycare.
Oh.
All right.
That's a family movie.
How do you feel about the angle of this shot right now?
He's cheating. Put your head down.
There All right, go. Brett, like this.
Oh, yeah.
Again, just off the rim. All right. No points have been scored yet. Malik, who does Darius think is the GOAT, Jordan or LeBron?
LeBron.
You think he said LeBron? What did you say?
LeBron.
Yeah. LeBron. You can add to your tally.
Oh, I can add to it?
Yeah.
LeBron.
Hey! Two?
That's pretty good.
2-0?
I should have played on BYU men's basketball.
Nah. Darius, does Malik eat fries with fry sauce? Does he eat his fries with fry sauce?
No.
I said sometimes.
You still got it wrong. You could have said yes, and you would have been right.
You said sometimes. That's both sides.
Yeah, you're right. So he got it right, though.
He got it right. I think either way, I was looking at
it. You got it right. You got it right. I'm going to give it to you.
Go for the bonus point.
Put your head down, man.
Look at that. Oh. Yeah. We are tied up at 2.
All right.
It is a 2-all game. Back to Malik. What is Darius's favorite movie?
Okay. It's comedy.
Yes.
It is
comedy. A real comedy.
Daddy Daycare is a real comedy. Soul Plane.
No. You what said Rush Hour.
Rush Hour.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Good. That's right. A good one.
You can still get a point, though.
I'm going to get a point.
We're 2-all right now.
Make that 3-2.
Oh, was that in or out?
I think that was in.
Was that in?
Yeah.
That was in. 3-2 then.
Yeah.
He felt the wind of the
net. Come on, man.
All right, back to you. What is Malik's go-to ice cream flavor from the creamery? Malik's go-to creamery flavor.
You don't look like a chocolate guy. Is it chocolate?
I'm supposed to give you an answer?
Chocolate.
No.
You said?
Cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream. You can still get a point, though. It's 3-2 Malik right now.
Oh! Can one of you on the crowd get the air ball, please?
You moved your head.
Final question for Malik about Darius. What TikTok dance does Darius do best?
Yes.
You got a point. That's 4. That's 5. Wow.
Now we know what Malik's been doing since he graduated.
I'm living my actual dream of playing basketball.
I don't think Darius can win. I think it's an insurmountable edge at 5-2, but he can still get 2 points on this round. What is Malik's dream vacation location?
Oh, you got to get this one. Are you going to get this one?
Am I?
Yeah, don't think too hard about it. Just think of a continent.
Continent.
You got a 1-in-7 shot here.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
Not America. Or North America.
One out of 6.
Yeah. dream vacation location for Malik?
Like a city? Or like a...
Like a continent.
It's like a continent.
Asia.
No, boy, Africa. Man.
You got one last chance to make a shot. Malik, congratulations.
Oh, my God. I can take this off?
Yes, you can. Let's hear it for Darius and Malik. Back and more after this. Stay with us.
Oh, my gosh. Rudy's good.
Malik, how did you... You only missed one shot.
Because I'm like... I actually had a basketball hoop in my house.
Like when this size?
About that size.
You,
and when I'm bored,
wear
I just
be... headpiece?
Yeah, Cody. Yeah.
I had no practice. No,
thank you guys so much. No,
I'm just glad I wasn't...
Bye, guys. Thank you, guys.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics, Smarty, Address Data Wizards, and Ken Garf. We hear you.
It is time for our audience Q&A segment presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We got a couple of questions. We can fire them in quickly, I think, for Kalani and Darius. Hey, it's Brenton. Hi, Brenton. What's your question?
So my question is for both of you. During your halftime speech, thanks to the cut for this, you mentioned how it was a great end to the party, or the first half of the party, and it was time for 34 minutes of party. Let's go party. What is the key? And so this is the question part. What is the key to partying with focus and discipline so you guys can perform the way you guys did this last week?
I think when you prepare the right way from Monday to Friday, you're in the right to be confident to have fun. And, I mean, these guys have worked so hard that I want them to that a lot of people sacrifice to get them where they're at, their loved ones, and some of them are here and some of them aren't. I want them to honor them by just having fun and doing their best. And that's my job, is make sure that they can be loose and have fun.
Yeah, you know? That's just something he always preaches to us, just go out there, have fun. We're going to play physical and have love in our heart, but at the end of the day, we got to have fun because at the end of the day, it's a game. So that's what the partying comes from.
All right, next question.
This is for both of you. What would you say, we've got a lot of young men, young women here in the crowd. What would you say, what advice would you have in regards to goal setting and making plans for their future?
I think for me, I had a lot of goals set in my life that didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work. But I think the biggest thing is to never get driven off that path and them goals that you have. You just got to find another way around it. There's always another plan to get to that final end goal that you want. So my plan wasn't to go JUCO, but at the end of the day, that's the cards that I was dealt, and I just embraced the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Darius. Thanks for the questions. We appreciate it. Thank you, guys. All right. As we take another break, here's this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. Since BYU's 13-0 season in 1984, so since that time, what is the BYU mark for most consecutive wins to open a season? That's the question. The answer is coming up next. Stay with us for BYU Football with Kalani Sitake next. To BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Trivia question brought to you by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. That's your question right there. Most consecutive wins to open the season since the perfect season? 12 straight wins. BYU opened 12-0 in the year 2001. The season finished at 12-2. Let's take a look at this weekend's broadcast schedule. BYU takes on Baylor. Cougars and the Bears early, 8 a.m. Mountain Time pregame on both BYU TV and BYU Radio. 10 o'clock Mountain for the kick, 11 in Waco, 12 Eastern time, and then come back to BYU TV. Stay with BYU Radio for postgame coverage immediately after the game, which you can see on FS1. As BYU visits Baylor for a third time all time, let's see what the Cougs will be wearing in Waco. Sticking with the all whites, back to a more traditional white and royal combination. BYU's done well in this particular uniform. Again, white with royal will be the combo on Saturday in Waco. We have 30 seconds left in the show. Kalani, Darius, maybe 10 seconds from each on playing at Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be on the road. I know a lot of our fans will show up to that game, just like last time when we played there, but We talk about a party after dark that we had last weekend. This is going to be same thing, just party at brunch. Here we go.
You with him on that?
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, wake up early and let's get after it. It'll be fun. Thanks, folks, for being here.